I know the first time I wore a robe like this, you're not used to seeing me in a robe, was almost 20 years ago, and our daughter was a young elementary school student and sitting next to Debbie in the front, and she whispered to Debbie as she looked at me standing up in the front of the church and said, "Why is Papa wearing a dress?" And Debbie, the always diplomatic wife, said, "It's a dress for Jesus. It's okay." Let's pray as I start the message, and just listen to the Lord as we listen to the Lord's message for us. Lord, thank you once again that we can gather with thankful hearts, whatever we may be wearing, robes, suits, shirts, dresses. Lord, we give ourselves to you. You say, "Come to you as we are," and we do. Naked and not ashamed, Lord, that we can be stripped of our outside facades and know that through Jesus, you receive us. And for that, we can be very, very thankful. I pray, Lord, that your message would be the message that is heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. In his January 1941 State of the Union address, President Franklin Roosevelt championed the cause of human rights, even as war had already invaded much of Western Europe 11 months before the attack on Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt asked the American citizens to support war efforts in various ways. He then stated his vision of a better future, founded upon four freedoms. And this is a quote from his speech of that time, in January 1941. "In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear." 2 years later, in the midst of World War II, artist Norman Rockwell sought to depict these four freedoms in a series of now famous paintings. Freedom of speech is shown first. Next, this is freedom of worship. And then here is his depiction of freedom from fear. Such a peaceful and holy picture. This last painting, Freedom from Want, portrayed a traditional Thanksgiving family meal, with Rockwell using some of his own neighbors as models. The painting is particularly meaningful when one realizes the great sacrifices being offered by so many Americans in 1943 as their beloved sons, husbands, fathers, brothers, and yes, even some women too, who gave up everything to fight for these freedoms. Sometimes it's a challenge to convince children and even adults that Thanksgiving Day is really not all about the food. For my parents and siblings, during my childhood, turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce was supplemented by sashimi, raw fish, heaping plates of boiled shrimp, and barbecued Texas ribs. It wasn't until Christ became real to us that it became a day to remember God and give thanks. We learned, like the early English settlers who lost half of their colony to exposure, disease, and meager supplies that first winter in America, that thankfulness is prioritized above what we may see or experience. Today's message is simply titled Priorities and continues in the Gospel of Mark series that I've been teaching in the English service since last month. Now, for those of you who are jumping in at this point, we understand that the writer, Mark, is helping his readers to see the true nature of Jesus, the Son of God, as told to him by the Apostle Peter, an eyewitness. Growing from that knowledge, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Peter is to teach his followers how to live and walk as faithful disciples or students of Jesus Christ. So to begin this, I want to ask you a question. How do you set priorities in your life? When you have more tasks to complete than possible, or too little money, or too many needs, or too little time, How do you decide what things must be done first or not at all? This morning, let's learn how Jesus set God-honoring priorities as we study Mark chapter 1, verses 33 to 39. And you can follow along in your bulletins. There is the sermon notes right in the very center. You can just turn to that. It's translated in both Chinese and English. And just a reminder, please bring those sermon notes home because there's a homework assignment at the very bottom, and I really want to suggest that you follow through on that. I think it'll be a very impactful decision. After an already full day of ministry, Jesus is resting at the end of the Jewish Sabbath day on Saturday evening when crowds of the sick and demon-possessed show up at the door of Simon and Andrew's home. That's Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother. Mark chapter 1, 33 to 34 says it this way. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Word of the power of God had spread across the town of Capernaum, and all those in desperate need arrive, surrounding the little household. Jesus heals all who seek him, as well as silencing the demons because of their tendency to try to manipulate for show the commonly held superstition that knowing a person's name or identity would allow you to control them somehow. Jesus did not want demons proclaiming his identity, not because they could control him, but because he wanted his identity to be revealed through God's sovereign timing and methods. Then, after the line of people waiting for healing dissipates, everything finally quiets down, and the small band of disciples fall asleep, exhausted. Let's read on. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." How does Jesus determine his next priority? He rises before the day gains momentum and spends unhurried quality time with his Father in heaven. It is in the lonely places with God, away from the next set of gathering crowds, wherein Jesus draws his direction and strength. A first century disciple or student of a rabbi would actually imitate everything that the teacher did, down to the way he dressed, walked, and talked. Jesus is calling to us from the pages of Scripture to learn from his example and to follow it. The most important step in learning how to set proper priorities is this: seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That simply means that we do not assume a course without seeking God's compass heading, even though the circumstances may look more fruitful or wiser or more attractive or even a repeat of the spectacular results we have already experienced. Jesus could have easily continued to base himself out of this small home, allowing the world to come to him as word spread around the region. But this was not true of any of his ministry. Where he went and how he did God's work were always paced and led by the Holy Spirit. Do you wait until the day is done and then ask God to bless what you already did? Or do you ask God before the start of the day, "What do you want me to give myself to? What is closest to your heart, Lord? How can I seek your kingdom and holiness today?" With such a hectic previous night, Jesus would have been warranted to have slept in a few more hours. Instead, with a humble an expectant attitude, he arises before dawn to be with his loving and wise Father. Do you receive the fresh daily bread of the Lord by spending time with him in solitude with an open Bible, an open heart, and open ears? Is your relationship with Jesus refreshed every day? Let me put it another way. How often do you eat a meal? How long do you go before you take in fresh food versus gnawing on some old, dry, bare steak bones you found in the back of the refrigerator from last month? Let me share a story about a time from early in my marriage to Debbie. And I got permission from Debbie to share this. After our wedding, I had given up my small apartment and moved into the lower section of a home where she was already residing. Upstairs from us lived the local University of Hawaii InterVarsity Christian Fellowship staff. Debbie had been in that place for a while as she worked long hours as a buyer at Logos Bookstore of Hawaii, accustomed to only caring for herself. Now, when we moved in together, I'd find all sorts of strange, old, expired things in her single career woman, living alone refrigerator. With my more regular hours as a University of Hawaii administrator, I'd more often than not be the one who went and did the grocery shopping. One day, after I'd left for work at the university, Debbie found her missing aged cat, Beggar, who, by the way, didn't like me very much since I became the new alpha male in the house. He had crawled under the house and died. Debbie found his stiff body and decided that we needed to have a funeral for him after I came home. She put him into a large black plastic trash bag and stuck him in the fridge for later that night. She didn't tell me that she had done that, and then she headed off to work. I came home late that afternoon and saw a new package in the fridge, and I thought, oh, Debbie! She went shopping finally, and she must have picked up some fresh fish from the market or something else. How thoughtful. Opening the bag and staring into Beggar's lifeless eyes, all I could say was, gah! Definitely not food, and definitely not fresh. Do you survive on some devotional nourishment from months or weeks ago? Without the fresh food of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives, we will starve and many times veer off the path that God has for us to enjoy with Him. I encourage all of us to seek first God's kingdom by seeking Him daily. Then we will be able to know clearly how to order the many competing parts of each day. By the way, Debbie is much better at cooking and grocery shopping than me now. And we don't have any household pets anymore, so you don't have to worry if you come over to visit us about finding any strange things in our refrigerator. What comes out of Jesus' quality quiet time with the Father? Let's read on. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The next example from Jesus is this. Once you have heard clearly from the Lord, move boldly forward in faith. Move forward boldly in faith. As the exasperated disciples point out that many needs are waiting for his touch in the town below, many new needs are waiting for his touch in the town below, Jesus answers that there is a greater priority for his time in ministry. Teaching about the kingdom in other villages who have yet to hear the good news of God's gracious gift of salvation from sin and death. Jesus acts in submission, moving forward in his calling, setting aside what may have been good for what is best according to God's perfect will. And Jesus does this without apology, anxiety, or hesitation. Let me repeat that one more time. Jesus acts in submission, moving forward in his calling, setting aside what may have been good for what is best, according to God's perfect will. And Jesus does this without apology, anxiety, or hesitation. For many of us, that kind of boldness is muted by the weight of momentum from whatever is already occupying our attention. We may have piles of existing activities and issues which tug at us. We are too busy to listen for the still, quiet voice of the Spirit, too immersed in the ocean current to break free and swim in another direction. Unless we stop and allow God to fill us with his perspective and power, we will simply react based on needs, emotions, or human wisdom, rather than upon God's panoramic view of the scene and what is at stake. Every Christian alive today owes their eternal destiny to Jesus' decision to continue to proclaim and secure the pathway to life capital L, and to not halt his ministry, to not focus only on temporary physical, emotional, or spiritual healing, however good that may be for those in pain. Now, please understand that I'm not saying that healing someone physically or taking care of other physical needs, such as those of your house full of young children, is less important in God's plans. If that is your calling from the Lord, to take care of a house full of young children, it is for you to do it all for his glory. Your servant-hearted love for him and your family may be the beachhead of his most important work for you. By seeking him and his guidance daily, his daily provision of strength may be the key to how you do this vital work for the kingdom, with his joy and power, instead of being tainted by human frustration and weakness. This week, I attended a gathering of about 30 pastors, most of whom were involved in planting new churches aimed at reaching the transient, lonely, and lost people who are often attracted to Washington's halls of power. Some had now established large churches. Some were newly arrived, like me. But all could point to God's nudge to begin a new work in the city which might glorify Jesus and transform lives. There were former college and pro athletes, Marines who had heard another call to service, married and single pastors, Ivy League grads, ex-cowboys and farmers, families with multiple toddlers, and families with children who are now in grad school. The churches represented are involved in an array of Christ-centered programs, widespread overseas and local missions, initiatives to populate the dwindling foster care cadre in D.C. with faithful Christians who would love the least of these, nutrition, education, and vocational mercy projects, youth mentoring, Bible studies in workplaces, faith-based coffee houses which earn $1 million each year above costs, all of which goes back into helping those in need, and many more projects like that. There was a bold light in the eyes of this group, which made me feel right at home. It was the light of Jesus shining through yielded hearts and hands. I see the same light in many of you. CCC has been a lighthouse longer than every person I met in that pastor's gathering has been alive. And by God's grace, we will continue to be a lighthouse as we seek God's face each and every day. The kingdom of God will be built through us as we release control, expectations, comfort, and resources to do God's agenda, to follow his agenda. If you don't already do so, I want to invite you to set aside the best of the beginning of your day for knowing, loving, and listening to the Lord. As we all seek him with all of our hearts, we may be at peace knowing that he is the head of CCC, as well as the church, capital C. Let's pray. And I'm going to invite you, with your sermon notes there, flip it over to the back side. There are two prayers on the back, written in Chinese and English, and it'll also be up on the board. I'm going to invite a response from two groups here, actually the third group. But the first group is for those who are seekers after the Lord. Maybe you've come to church for the first time in a long time. Maybe you've never really known the Lord. Maybe you've had doubts. The first step in beginning to know that God is real is praying this simple prayer, to recognize that God may be giving you a spiritual hunger, and you say, God, I'm not sure, but I'm willing to follow, to even seek you. So the prayer is written in your bulletin. If this is the prayer of your heart and you want to do this, follow this prayer. I'm going to read it out loud, and if you would, pray this prayer alongside me, in Chinese or in English. Dear God, I'm not sure who you are, and I would like to find out if you are real. Please reveal yourself to me. I open myself to your truth, your love, and your will for my life. Amen. For the second group, perhaps you're at the point of being ready to make that leap of faith into Jesus' arms. You know he's real. You've just been resisting him. And you are willing to let go of your resistance. Pray this prayer. And again, out loud in Chinese or in English, right where you are. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner and that I am separated from you. I do not want to live like that anymore. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sinful life. I put my faith in him for forgiveness and ask Jesus to govern my life from this point forward. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to grow in my love for you and show me how to become more like you every day. Amen. And for the third group, I'm just going to lead a simple prayer. Lord, we've seen your priorities to preach the kingdom of God, to love people in a way that would show your love forever, as well as heal those who would be ready for healing. Lord, we ask that you would meet us daily as we submit to you and seek you in the early morning, at the start of our day, before we make a decision about what we will do next. And Lord, I pray that you will meet us the night before, because we know we do not arise early in the morning if we sleep late at night, if we do not have enough rest. So help your priorities to transform our time use at night and in the morning. Meet us through the Word of God. Meet us through the Holy Spirit. Give us your perspective, your priorities, and help us to be bold through your power, through your Holy Spirit, to say, to do, to live in ways that please you and proclaim the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.